Welcome to Smart Finance 360, the podcast where money matters meet innovative thinking. Every week, we dive deep into the world of finance, exploring trends, debunking myths, and bringing you the latest insights from industry experts. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a financial newbie, or somewhere in between, this is your go-to source for becoming financially savvy. Welcome to another episode. I'm very excited about this episode. We have Chelsea Adams here. She's a financial advisor. She has her PhD in...
English with a focus in blues and black dance and literature.
I definitely want to talk about that. So this is going to be great. Let's talk about kind of your journey. I mean, that's a twist, right? You have your PhD and then you're becoming a financial advisor. Tell us kind of your journey and how it all transpired.
You know, I have been exposed to the finance world my entire life. Have family who works in finance. And so I always was familiar with it. And that was a benefit to me because I always knew how to budget. I always had that brokerage account. So I had an education account and I knew what to save for and how to move myself in that trajectory. And I also knew the value of a dollar so I could get, say, the universities to give me scholarships to get my degrees.
Amazing. How young were you when you learned all that?
You know, I'm pretty sure I had my first summer job at age 8. And it was, you know, 4-H raisin lamps. And you would go and show them. And then I worked the fields farming. We did tomatoes and sold them to the fruit stands in Brigham City, Utah, of all places, Willard and Brigham.
It is awesome. I love that area, by the way.
It is wonderful.
So you learned hard work at an early age. And then...
I always wanted to teach. That was always a passion. I would help neighbors and friends, you know, tutor them in mathematics and whatever it was they were struggling with, because I just loved to learn and I loved to share what I was learning, and very driven that way. So I thought, what better way to do that than to continue? And I don't want to teach K-12. I want to teach college. That is the dream. And so I really, you know, put the pedal to the metal and went straight through to a PhD. I did one right after the other. And English, because I love reading and I love the variety, I thought that would be a good space to go.
Absolutely.
And I got my doctorate as the pandemic hit.
Wow. A lot happening.
Yeah, a lot was happening. I had to defend my dissertation virtually. So I didn't ever get a handshake. Congratulations.
Crazy.
There was no commencement.
Something in the mail.
Yeah, a diploma in the mail. And, you know, there just weren't jobs. Like many other industries, education pretty much froze all of their hiring. And I had happened to get hired on in graduate admissions as an administrator and was in charge of overhauling the administration's or the admissions process in administration for graduates.
Oh.
So for the graduate programs. And I was working 80-hour weeks and the pay was not enough to make that worth
PhD.
It. And it was, I was not getting to teach and I just felt really isolated and like what I had got my degree for, I wasn't getting to do any of that. And I didn't feel like I was making a big difference in my life or anybody's life. It was just a grind that I wasn't happy about. And from the point that I graduated undergrad, I'd had different financial advising firms approach me and say, we'll pay for your licensing and to take your exams. We just want you. And so I knew that those opportunities existed. And when I had that opportunity presented to me, I thought, I have to take it. The worst thing that can happen is I don't like it and I can find something else. So it was this idea of letting go of this rigid sense of identity that I have to be the professor or I have to work in university, you know, life or somewhere there, that was really the most freeing thing. And certainly that was hard. You have to rebuild your identity.
Yes.
But the teaching part of the identity never left. And financial advising is at its heart a lot of teaching, a lot of educating, because if there's one thing I found out in this job, it's that the majority of people who sit down across from me have never been given any financial literacy course or taught very much. They just know they've got a bank account and a checking account, and somebody told them to open up that 401k and put money in it, but they have no idea how much they have to put in to be okay. They have no idea what a match is or if they're getting a match. They have no idea where that old 401k is or if they should be asking about other benefits. There's so many pieces to a financial puzzle, and because they're so far down the road, people think about the now. They don't think 20, 30 years in the future. They don't even think 10 years in the future.
No, they don't even think next week.
Exactly. And so when I was seeing that, I thought, well, I have a degree that I got a lot of training and education and how to teach people, and I can utilize that both on social media and in person at seminars or one-on-one to make a difference in people's lives, because even if they aren't ready to be my client now, they need that information.
That's an awesome journey. I mean, the fact that you, because that's a very slow, rigid, hard journey to get your PhD. It's something that you have to work really hard for, but it's really cool that you literally used all the things that you learned in school, but you applied it to multiple different things. So you were able to apply your teaching skills to something that you're actually also passionate about as well, with financial advising, because you knew as a kid. And you hit on the spot there that you, when you said all the people really know is their checking account, saving account, maybe their 401k. And it's true. It really is true. So that's the lack of education in that financial literacy. I think it's crazy to me. I mean, I understand in school everyone wants to know about different shapes and stuff. You know, what do they say? What's the classic joke they always have about, like, what is it in school that you know? I can't get it on top of my head. What is it? I know, thank goodness I know a parallelogram, but I don't know how to
do
my taxes or something.
Yes, I don't know how to do my taxes, but, you know, I know the Pythagorean theorem.
There it is.
There's so many of those things. And mathematics, I think, does have a lot of actual practical uses. And as somebody who grew up loving math until I hit business calc.
Business calc is very hard. Actually, I changed degrees because of that class. So,
you know, it influenced my trajectory a little bit as well. But I feel like there's a lot of practical application to math, even in understanding the difference between simple and compound interest. That actually affects people's lives.
Yes.
Are you, you know, just getting that interest off of the original amount, or does it add to it and you keep getting more and more interest, which is where the analogy of, would you rather have a penny that doubles every day, a penny that doubles every day, or would you rather have like $1,000 or whatever? And you should take the penny that doubles, because in a year, in 10 years, that is so exponential that the growth is, and people are afraid of the math, but the math is really practical and actually not as difficult as people imagine from when they were in junior high and high school and starting to learn.
Well, it's cool that you can break that down for them and show them that math. So tell me a little bit about kind of your investment philosophies that you have on that piece, that kind of your focus when you're doing your financial planning.
You know, we have at Stratus Wealth Partners what's called the Around the Sun model, or our ARTS model.
Okay.
And it is a process that has 7 pillars. And among those 7 pillars is, you know, the wealth management that people think of, the estate planning, those types of things. But one of the things that is, or pillars of that process here, or rays, as we'll say, 7 rays, I should say ray, not pillar, is risk tolerance and management of your money, right? This sense of protection from downside while also having the opportunity for growth. And a lot of people, when they're thinking a checking account or savings account, say, oh yeah, I've got that like interest that pays. That's great. But our philosophy as part of that is that should be part of your financial plan, which is a big holistic thing. It includes that checking and savings. It includes things like, are you going to have a family? What kind of finance do you need to be able to have that family? How many kids? Do you want those kids to go to college? And can you afford to send them to college? Can you get them set up with something? What can you do to build that? Do you want a new home? Do you want a new car? Do you want that vacation? Or do you want to be generous with your money and donate it places? These are all pieces of a puzzle that are holistic. And in order to do that, when we're looking at risk and we're looking at building you an investment portfolio, what are we investing you in? We need to know that, because it's going to change what we do for each individual. Somebody who wants to take, you know, charity trips and help build houses needs a different setup than somebody who wants to stay at home and put three kids through college. And when we talk about risk, we say, well, somebody might be more comfortable taking a bit more, say, investing in individual stocks, or some people may not like the risk of the up and down of the stock market. So they need to be in something more like bonds that pays income and may have some growth to it, but isn't going to be down as much when the market's down. And so we have this variety of investments that we can pick and choose what's best for each person and adjust it as necessary, because as you get older, you need an account that looks different than when you were 20 or when you were 25.
Yep.
And when you're 25, you don't want an account that looks like somebody's account who's 65 and approaching retirement.
Yes. I love first you so very eloquently applied things that are real. I love how you explain that to me about very specific things that are real. It's not just the mumbo jumbo that we're always talking about. Ah, you put in this bond, you put in here, and it grows, and it's going to, after you have this X amount of money. No, you said this for college, this for other things that you want to, maybe you want to donate and to a good cause in the future. I love that you apply, you just said very good, those things. You're great. You're great.
Oh, thank you. And you know, the goal is really, not to say we earn the most every year, because a lot of people think, I can just throw money in an account and just keep finding the best investments. I can keep finding those magnificent seven stocks. Like, you know, we can do this and earn and beat the markets. We're not going to beat the markets every year. And any financial advisor or financial professional will tell you that the markets go up and down and you're not always picking the winners. But what we're doing is every year, the goal is to give you the best return we can give you for where you're comfortable with your risk. And over time, some years you'll be down and some years you'll be up, but the trajectory should be upward.
What I like about the trajectory, I like how you can see historically too. I like how you can look back and see historically. If you're just the steady Eddie, don't get too crazy. I know it's an election year, so some people might get crazy about pull out or buy, sell, or whatever. But I think at times people just need to realize that, hey, look, these people are the professionals. They know. And like you said, you know the trajectory. If you just got to stay in firm, be firm. And I'm the same way. Every month, you know, I'm going to put stuff into different stocks. Or what, I'm not doing it. Financial advisor is doing it. But I know that, okay, we may have some ups, we may have some downs, but I'm seeing the trajectory. I'm seeing it after 10 years. It's steady, it's going up, it's good. So I think having that is great, because I love that you tailor it the right way too. You tailor it for the 25-year-old, the 35-year-old, the 45-year-old. Very good philosophy there. And I love how you can teach that really well to people, because for me, it's like, I'm really good at mortgages, but what you do, like, I legitimately have like a fourth grade knowledge on it. I just trust you guys, because that's just not my jam.
Well, and we hope as financial advisors, at least I feel this way, I know everybody in my office feels this way, is that as you work with us, you get to where you learn enough that you are comfortable to have those conversations, not just with us, but with friends and family, that you know what you're talking about. And, you know, there is this sense that we think the investment needs to be really complicated. We look at those hedge funds. We look at
the word hedge funds.
Yeah, yeah. Big wigs, right? Yeah. That are doing all these complex strategies. But our, you know, among our philosophy is that, you know, good investing is often really boring. You know, we get on and you want some great stories, and you can certainly get great stories. I mean, you look at Warren Buffett alone and everybody goes, oh, what an inspiration. But if you look at where he earned most of his wealth, right? It's in his older age that his wealth is just amassed so much because of compounding. And you bet that those decisions were small, boring, long holds at first. We have this continued, once you get there, don't let go of it. Just if it's good, if it's quality, it's time in the market, not timing it. We can't predict a high or low, but we can just stay in and let it grow.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal explanation on that. I love your analogies on things. I think you do a really good job of, you definitely are a great teacher, I can tell. Because I'm understanding a lot more on some of the stuff you're talking about, because you just apply into my life. Common mistakes I wanted to talk about. There's a lot of different things, misconceptions when it comes to working with a financial advisor, maybe the things that that people are investing in. I'm not sure what you can or can't talk about, but what are, just the top of your head, some common mistakes that people come across when it comes to the financial advising world?
One of the biggest ones that I see is people have a Roth or a traditional IRA, or they have money in an account, and they think that putting the money in the account means that it's invested. So they've put thousands and thousands of dollars into an account that is not growing for them, because they haven't talked with an advisor, or they themselves have not put themselves in the market. And that is a tragedy, because of all the years of growth you're missing out on, because you're doing the right thing. You've opened the account and you've got money in it, and then you didn't invest it. You missed that last step.
They think it's being invested, but it's not.
Yes, because they think, oh yeah, but I opened that IRA, and that IRA is an investment account. Yes, it's an investment account, but you have to make those decisions and invest it. That is one of the biggest mistakes people make, is just putting money in and forgetting about it.
That's crazy, as far as probably old 401ks from other jobs that they've had in the past. Maybe they didn't roll it over or do anything like that.
And those IRAs. And those may be in, say, a target date fund, because it's just been invested automatically into that target date as you've put the money into the 401k. But that is another mistake, is people don't look. There are, there's a website that you can go and type in and your name and information and see what 401ks you've left behind. And it is,
well, that's cool.
People get really intimidated and think it's a hard process to roll a 401k into a new job's 401k, a new employer's 401. But that is actually not difficult. You just have to talk to your HR director, whoever that was, find out who the provider is, and give them a call. In fact, you should be getting statements from those people or emails that tell you that you have that money. And you can call them and say, hey, I've got a new job and I've switched employers here. They have a 401k. How do I go about getting that moved? And the company will tell you. The whatever company that 401k is with, there may be some rules about how it has to be rolled, but they will tell you that. And being able to consolidate that money so you don't leave it behind and lose it. What was the number? I think it's well over $1 trillion is sitting in,
really?
In 401ks that have been left behind in the United
States.
That
is a crazy statistic when you think about it, just sitting there because people think it's too hard.
Yeah, or they, it was not on their mind, or they think it's not enough money to make a difference. And that goes right back to our discussion of the penny versus $1,000. You let that sit long enough in invested in the markets, and it will grow. That's something that will help you in the long run. But if you let that money sit in 5 different spots and never look at it again and don't know it's there, how are you helping yourself?
That's another reason why I always preface it's very important to have your financial tree of people, and you have a financial advisor, because they can help you when you get a new job. They're going to be aware of that on your annual review. They can help you switch that over. It just makes life so much easier. Another thing I talk about is, if you're not, people are very interested in different things. We have a lot of do-it-yourselfers here in Utah, probably do-it-yourselfers in the United States, but I always tell people that I think, regardless of if it's your passion, it's always best to use the professional, like especially when you're self-employed, please use a CPA. If you have a lot of money or a lot of wealth, please use a financial advisor. Please, please use a lawyer when needed. Like, there's certain things that these people work really hard to be able to create not only value for you, but a good experience. Any last myths you've seen people do or misconceptions?
When it comes to financial advising, when I tell people I'm a financial advisor, they have no idea what that means.
No.
And if they do have an idea of what it means, they think that means, oh yes, you invest people in the stock market.
That's basically it, yeah.
And, that is such a small part of what we do. And so when you say there's a lot of DIYers out there, you know, that's true. And a lot of those people say, well, if I can do it myself, why would I pay a financial advisor to do it? And the answer to that is just like you're saying, there are so many benefits to having a financial advisor. One of them is just that financial literacy.
Yes.
You know, we have clients who call in. Sometimes they say, I just got this call or I got this email and it says this and it's a scam. You know, it's a, oh, they're telling me I have to lump sum take out my 401. Things like that that we've
got. They called you.
And they'll call because they trust that we know the answer and they're calling us before they make a decision. Sometimes it is that advice. What is best for my family? I've got a kid and I want to set something up for them. You know, what is our best option? And we can sit down and talk them through that. Or like you said, it's an election year. People get really panicked. And if the person that they want to be in office is not in office, many people pull all of their money out of the market. But you can talk with a financial advisor and learn what the history of it is and what
different markets, presidents,
yes,
different candidates, and different parties.
Because one of the things that I always say is I have been surprised at how much of my job is talking people out of bad decisions that are made from really emotional spaces. When we get really upset about politics or we get really upset about a company doing something we dislike or even just what's going on in our community or different spaces in our lives, we say, oh yeah, like that must mean I need to make a change. And often when we're angry or we're upset or we're panicked, we're not thinking straight and we're making bad decisions because we're making them in the heat of the moment. If you have a financial advisor to call and talk to, you can get help working through those by being validated that, yes, you are okay to feel this way. This is normal. Lots of people feel this way. You're not alone. Now let's tell you what's going on and how we see the markets or how we see this situation. And if we really need to make a change, we'll help you make a change, but not be rash about it.
Yeah, I think that's phenomenal as far as you are basically emotional armor for these people. Because yes, a lot of times, especially working with finances, I work with probably the most stressed out people ever when getting a mortgage. It's a stressful time, you're moving, you're trying to balance, you're balancing when we gotta get the movers in. What's my new mortgage going to be? There's a lot of moving parts here. People are very stressed. So my number one job I found out wasn't necessarily, yes, I have to know my stuff and be very good at what I do, but I also need to help people throughout the process to avoid stress. I can help take that burden off of them and say, hey, you got this. Don't you worry. This is how this all works. So it's the same thing. I think you save people a lot of money by giving that phone call when they are stressed about certain circumstances in the market. And yeah, it might save you a lot of money by just calling your financial advisor before doing all these irrational decisions just because off emotions.
And that's what you're paying a financial advisor for. The investing is almost secondary, right?
Yes.
We're looking at it and saying, yes, but you could do this yourself if you wanted to. We understand that. But we have a network of people that we know are quality professionals. We have all of this knowledge, these databases, we can look and get you the answers to your questions. If we don't know the answer, we know somebody who does. Those attitudes, like you said, if you can walk somebody through the process of getting a firm financial foundation, the freedom that gives clients to just grow, not just wealth, but personal growth, family growth, you know, career growth.
Yes.
That is what is rewarding, not only as a financial advisor, but as clients, because you see, oh, I don't have to worry about this because I know it's there.
Yes.
And I know if I need something, I have somebody I can call who will be there on the other end of the line, or if I need to walk into the office, it will be taken care of and I will be taken care of.
Yeah, there's so much headspace. Like I got my daughter sick and I got 2 hours of sleep. So my mind's just all over the place. So I can't imagine even in times like this where my mind's all over the place that I'm thinking about, because if I'm gonna do it myself, I got to go invest in the stock market. I got to do all these other things. It's nice that we have financial advisors, people like yourself, that's just all you do. That's all you do. It's great for headspace. Well, this is great. I got to get you on again. We're out of time here, but Chelsea, how can we get a hold of you for your viewers? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
You know, we have a website that's www.stratusutah.com, and you can go on our website and learn more about us and schedule an online appointment if you were interested. And if that's enough, that's great. But if you'd like to give us a phone call, you know, we can do that too, phone, email, or even in person. I love to meet people in person.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. Please reach out to Chelsea. The way she explains things, the financial literacy part of how she can teach can help you so much. So thanks again. I appreciate you being on.
Thanks for having me.